It's Monday, June the 29th, day 100. I've got a strange sense of déjà vu. Last night, before going to sleep, I read Ferdinand Mount's essay in the London Review of Books about Boris Johnson's record so far as Prime Minister. Then this morning I woke up to news about Mark Sedwill, the Cabinet Secretary, being forced out of office, taking early retirement, of course, which is clearly yet another sign of the year zero mentality now gripping Johnson, Cummings and their satraps. A number of other senior civil servants have recently been sidelined or encouraged to spend more time with their families. And I thought, what does this remind me of? And then I realised, it's like the beginning of the Thatcher years. The link was Ferdinand Mount, who played a minor role as an advisor to the Iron Lady, and wrote a fine book about it afterwards. Thatcher's Year Zero ideologue was Sir Keith Joseph, an eccentric and very rich toff who had an endearing interest in ideas. He had been reading Friedrich Hayek, particularly his book The Road to Serfdom, written in the 1940s largely because, as a young academic, he couldn't get anybody interested in his economic ideas, and so decided to try political theory instead. There are lots of stories of Thatcher taking Hayek's book out of her handbag in front of stupefied cabinet members and saying, "This is what we believe." And into her team, Thatcher then imported Bernard Ingham as her semi-house-trained polecat to deal with the media, and Alan Walters, who was Milton Friedman's representative on Earth, as her economics enforcer. So one can think of Dominic Cummings, if one must think of him at all, as an amalgam of Ingham and Walters. And even as I say that, I think, wow, that would be some pantomime horse. I'd pay good money to see that. Which is why it's déjà vu all over again. What that implies, for those of us who didn't subscribe to neoliberalism in 1980 and don't much like the Cummings-Johnson rebooting Britain bluster now, is that there's possibly a decade ahead when we will be ruled by a deeply unpalatable regime. At any rate, the UK's ragbag constitution has given the current incumbent of Downing Street dictatorial powers for the next 5 years, and there's bugger all anybody can do about that. At least the Yanks have the chance of unseating Trump in November, though whether they'll take it remains to be seen. At the time that Thatcher assumed power, Ronald Reagan became president in the US, launching the neoliberal bonfire of the regulations and preparing the legislative ground for the globalisation and financialisation of the economy, while at the same time keeping the populace hypnotised with his folksy "Morning in America" charm. This coincidence of Thatcher's and Reagan's simultaneous arrival in seats of power has led subsequent generations to credit them either with the invention of neoliberalism or with its translation into action, or both. That's baloney, to use a technical term. First of all, by the time they took office, some of the tectonic shifts in the world economy, triggered by the global recession caused by the quadrupling of the oil price in 1973, were well underway. So many of the industrial disruptions attributed to their policies that would have happened anyway. Thatcher and Reagan were as much cheerleaders for, or free riders on, industrial trauma. And secondly, and more importantly, the neoliberal ideas that provided the rationale for their policies had actually been around for a long time. Milton Friedman, the Chicago economist who became the most forceful articulator of neoliberal ideas, once said something very perceptive about how change happens in the intellectual climate of societies. Political elites rarely change their views and assumptions, he argued. It takes a major crisis to make them realise that they have to do something radically different, and to do it right now. So what do? Well, they take up any new ideas that happen to be lying around. So the task of radicals, Friedman argued, is to make sure that yours are the ideas lying around at that moment. That was the real genius of the ideological movement launched by Hayek and his friends in the late 1930s and 1940s, the movement that Philip Murawski christened the Neoliberal Thought Collective. These characters created a network of think tanks, university academics, and public intellectuals, people whom Hayek endearingly called second-hand dealers in ideas, though Lenin would doubtless have called them useful idiots. And they made sure that that network was lavishly funded by wealthy, right-wing, market-focused backers. This ensured that when the post-war Keynesian intellectual framework began to fall apart under the stresses of the 1970s, the ideas of Hayek and co. were available for deployment by whatever politicians chanced to need stimulation, which in this case meant Reagan and Thatcher. This rambling train of thought led me this morning to ask, well, what are the ideas that are now informing the chancellors supposedly running the UK? Cummings apparently has some notions of trying to create a copy of the Pentagon's Advanced Projects Research Agency, ARPA, which might or might not yield something in time, but is unlikely to do anything to help the folks left behind in the post-industrial regions of the UK. Interestingly, though, I see that Johnson is talking this morning about a new Rooseveltian programme, harking back to Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal of the Depression-era 1930s. If that's indeed what he's seeking to emulate, then perhaps he should do some reading first. FDR was a good deal more astute and cunning than poor old blustering Bojo. So a good place to start might be Zachary Carter's terrific biography of John Maynard Keynes, which has a lot of useful stuff in it about FDR and his advisers. Here endeth this quarantine diary. Day 100 probably looks like an arbitrary cut-off point, as several listeners have already pointed out to me. And of course they're right. Apart from anything else, I remain in quarantine. The trouble is that although I'm still in lockdown, my non-blogging workload has been increasing. My academic colleagues and I have a big new research centre that's just getting going. Getting that up and running in pre-pandemic times would have been challenging enough. Under current circumstances, it's actually more time-consuming, though it's also true that being able to work remotely makes some things easier. But anyway, the bottom line is that I'm busier now than I was when I started the diary. This doesn't mean the disappearance of audio from Memex, though, just that there won't necessarily be audio every single day. I'm contemplating combining audio on the blog with a new podcast, possibly called The Blockchain, just to annoy the cryptocurrency crowd, to make it easier to access for some listeners, for example, people who like to listen to podcasts while walking the dog. I've learned a lot from this experiment, most of all the realization that audio can reach places that other media can't, to borrow an idea from the Heineken TV ad of many years ago. So if you have been listening, thank you. Stay tuned.